Overdoses of prescription medication kill more people in Clark County than methamphetamine, heroin, and cocaine combined. Many of those drugs apparently came from physicians deliberately or recklessly overprescribing powerful painkillers such as oxycodone. Federal authorities are investigating four doctors and a pharmacy in Southern Nevada for overprescribing prescription drugs. Southern California has already faced this problem, and joining us now is Lisa Guerrien. Lisa Guerrien and Scott Glover were co-authors of an investigative series for the Los Angeles Times that revealed how serious the problem of painkiller abuse was in that region. Lisa Guerrien, welcome to KNPR.
Thanks for having me.
In your investigation of the prescription drug trade in Southern California, you said authorities had focused on pharmacy robberies but had failed to notice how many deaths were related to legal prescriptions. Why did they overlook that part of the problem?
Well, that's actually was sort of the conventional wisdom nationwide at the time we began looking into these deaths. The idea that it's, you know, drugstore robberies and kids at pill parties and stealing from mom and dad's medicine cabinet and then some, you know, nefarious black market is what was fueling the incredible rise in prescription drug overdoses in this country. And so we set about to look at the reality of that and see what we could find.
So what brought this problem of deaths related to legal prescriptions to the attention of authorities?
We did. What happened was we decided to look into prescription drug deaths in Southern California, and we gathered nearly 4,000 coroner's data on nearly 4,000 deaths, accidental prescription drug deaths in Southern California in four counties. And we use that information to connect the deaths to prescriptions written by doctors. And what we found was that in nearly half the cases, more than 1,700 deaths over a seven-year period, people died either partly or totally because of drugs prescribed to them by a doctor to them. And so that sort of began to change the conversation, both in California and nationally, about, you know, the role of what looks like conventional medicine, you know, like normal medicine and medical practice in the nation's prescription drug overdose epidemic.
So who are these doctors? Were they typically doctors specializing in pain management, or were there other specialties involved?
There are a variety. There were pain management specialists, certainly were many of them, and the doctor at the top was indeed that. And one of the things he said to us was, look, I get the toughest cases. I get people with, you know, chronic pain and oftentimes other problems, and they're difficult to treat, and so the general practitioners send them to me. But we also saw a range of doctors. We saw generalists, family practitioners, psychiatrists, the whole gamut.
Yeah, no, one of the doctors you looked at was Van Vu. He's mm-hmm. a certified pain specialist, said, as you mm-hmm. noted, other doctors send him the worst cases, many of whom were already mm-hmm. addicted to opiates. Did that explain the overdose deaths among his patients?
That was his explanation, and the medical board is investigating some of those cases now. So, it remains to be seen.
Yeah, now he posed a tough question in this process, noting that thousands of others benefit from these drugs. And should we lock them away because of a relatively small number of deaths? Is that a fair way to frame the problem?
Well, you know, there is a bigger conversation going on in this country now about pain relief and how best to achieve it. Number of prescriptions for these strong drugs that are involved in these deaths, drugs like OxyContin and hydrocodone, have soared over the past 10, 15 years. 15 years ago, a doctor would not have prescribed a strong opiate like that for arthritis. Today, it's very routine. As the prescriptions increased, so have the overdose deaths. And so some, kind of leading medical experts in this country and medical boards and various folks are starting to talk about perhaps, being more careful and more controlled about how these drugs are prescribed. The state of Washington, for example, a couple years ago implemented certain milligram per day limit on these kinds of drugs without a second opinion.
Yeah, one of the doctors who seemed to be involved in a number of deaths said that he could not be responsible for patients once they left his office. What's wrong with that argument?
Well, I think, you know, there's a lot of truth to that. But other doctors will tell you that, you know, and there are a lot of things you can do. There's patient selection, making sure that the patients that you are putting on these strong opioids don't have other risk factors, like a history of addiction or alcoholism or something like that. They can also, a lot of doctors do pill counting, like they have their patients come in with their bottles and they make sure that they appear to be taking, you know, the proper number of pills every day. They do urine testing, lots of things like that to make sure they're taking the drugs as prescribed by the doctor. Mm-hmm. And then some doctors also have a relationship with family members. A lot of doctors talk about, you know, when you have people on these really strong drugs, it's important to know that there are people who live with them who are watching out for them and monitoring them and making sure that they're not hearing that loud snore in the middle of the night that oftentimes precedes an overdose.
Did you find that the lack of a legal requirement for supervision and such meant that some doctors were simply overprescribing these drugs?
Mm-hmm. I don't know. We really didn't look at whether or not they were overprescribing. What we looked at was whether or not their patients were dying on the drugs they were prescribing. And we certainly found a lot of that and a troubling number of those deaths. In terms of what the law requires doctors to do and what kind of supervision there is, one thing that we did notice was a lot of these doctors, the 71 who had three or more patients die, many of them were solo practitioners. So they were kind of operating out there on their own and perhaps without the kind of peer review that you might find in a large group practice or a hospital situation. When people die in surgery in a hospital, there's a whole peer review process that happens right away and, you know, tries to find out, did the doctor do everything? Did everybody do anything they could do to prevent that death? And if not, what can that doctor do and what can the hospital learn? You know, what can medicine learn from that? In solo practice, you know, now that these, you know, very powerful and dangerous drugs are being prescribed, the sort of, you know, sphere of dangerous medicine has moved out of hospital, you know, in these closely supervised settings into these small practices. And there isn't a lot of supervision or, you know, collegial sort of peer review that is possibly something that could help.
Now, some of the doctors you examined did end up being prosecuted. What happened with those prosecutions?
Most of the cases are still working their way through. There's one doctor who's been who was arrested and charged in state court in California for reckless prescribing. And then the medical board is investigating some other cases and we're waiting to see.
How many doctors are we talking about all told?
In our study, we connected about 1,700 deaths to doctors, and then doctors with three or more deaths, overdose deaths among their patients, there we found 71 doctors. And this is in a four-county area around Los Angeles, so it's a very populous place mm-hmm. with nearly 100,000 practitioners. So to have 71 doctors, it's a really small fraction of the overall, you know.
Any kind of a sense of how many of them are somewhere in the justice system at this point?
Not very many that we know of. No, not at all. There is one doctor here who's kind of a test case, and she was arrested before our series began. In fact, her case was one of the reasons we started looking at this. Her name is Dr. Lisa Singh, and she was arrested a couple of years ago and has actually been charged with second-degree murder in connection with the overdose deaths of three of her patients. We actually connected her practice and her prescribing to, a lot more than that, around nine deaths at least. And basically what the prosecutors are alleging is that, you know, after a few patients of hers died taking these drugs in a certain way, she should have realized that she was doing something potentially very unsafe for her patients and taken steps to correct them, and that she didn't, and more people died.
You also found cases of physicians who were apparently conducting sham physical exams and prescribing to people they knew or should have known were addicts. What has happened to those physicians to this point?
Most of them are still prescribing, as far as we know. One of the problems is these cases take a really long time to investigate. And until, you know, they decide to bring a case, we won't know that anything is going on. Another problem is, even after the medical board takes action, oftentimes they will just reprimand the doctor or put them on probation, and they will be allowed to continue prescribing. We actually found when we did our investigation, we found that 8 doctors who were disciplined for excessive prescribing later had patients die of overdoses after they were already sanctioned by the medical board. So this is really something that, you know, even when the law or the regulators get involved, it's tough to stop.
When all the records are computerized and thus so theoretically easy to check, why is the medical board, or if it's not them, some other government agency, why are they not doing more monitoring?
It's a great question, and it's one of the questions that we asked. So many states, including California, have what are known as prescription drug monitoring programs. And in California, the requirement is that every time a pharmacy fills a controlled substance, you know, a narcotic, within 7 days, they have to send a report into the state's PDMP. And it's a database that collects all this information, and it's available to law enforcement and the medical board and doctors and pharmacies to tap into to look for patients who might be filling the same prescription for a very powerful pain reliever at 2 pharmacies on the same day, or going to a number of doctors to get the same prescription, that kind of thing, doctor shopping. But it also could be used by the medical board or by the state attorney general's office, which maintains it, to look for doctors and pharmacies in the state that, on their numbers alone, look suspicious, you know, like the state's top, you know, dispenser of controlled substances, you know. Is it a hospital or is it a tiny little storefront in a neighborhood where you wouldn't expect to find that? They're not doing that yet. As a result of our series, there was a lot of talk that they would start doing that. Honestly, we haven't had a chance to go back and see if they're doing it and what cases that effort is yielding, but we do plan to look at that.
Mm-hmm. Your investigation found that most of the doctors who had apparently prescribed these drugs too frequently and even recklessly had spotless records with the Medical Board of California. How could that be? What, was the board just unconcerned?
No, they're not unconcerned. In fact, you know, in their mission statement, this is one of the highest priority cases, excessive prescribing, because there is a recognition that excessive prescribing can lead to, you know, a lot of public health problems, addiction, abuse, overdose. But that same, you know, sort of public policy position doesn't track with the way they actually do investigations. Investigations are triggered by complaints. So the only way the medical board starts looking at a doctor for potentially prescribing inappropriately is if somebody complains. And if you have a situation where a doctor is prescribing, you know, to addicts and dealers and, you know, people who are going to that doctor because they know he's easy with his prescription pad, those aren't the kind of people that are going to complain and say, hey, that doctor's, you know, excessively prescribing. The other thing that the board doesn't do and still doesn't do, even after our series, is they don't go to coroner's offices, and the coroners aren't sending them autopsies on every time a person dies because of a drug prescribed by a doctor. And if they were collecting that kind of information the way my colleague Scott Glover and I did, they would be able to see these patterns. They could see a cluster like, oh my goodness, this doctor, you know, in Los Angeles has had 3 patients die on this drug. You know, what's going on there? You know, and maybe he just needs education, or maybe there's something really nefarious going on, but the board doesn't even know.
Mm-hmm. Have there been any reforms to any of these processes in the aftermath of your investigation?
Yeah, there have. There were a couple of laws that were passed the year after our series ran, and one of them makes it easier for the medical board to get interim suspension orders against doctors, like suspend the prescribing privileges of doctors while they're investigating. Another one makes it easier for the medical board investigators to collect patient records from doctors that they're investigating. Before our series, they needed to get permission from a patient. But again, if the patient is an addict or a dealer, they're not going to give the investigator permission. So it's a little easier now for the board to get those kinds of records.
Is there any way to regulate or supervise these prescription painkillers when the system assumes that doctors will be the gatekeepers and that they'll always prescribe dangerous drugs with a sense of professional responsibility?
Well, you know, I think some of these ideas, you know, watching the, you know, monitoring prescriptions through the prescription drug monitoring program more vigilantly, like really looking to see, you know, through the computer, you know, are people using this database to see whether or not people are getting inordinate amounts of a drug, lethal amounts of a drug, whether or not they're getting a drug that's dangerous from multiple doctors, multiple drugstores. You know, there, you know, technology is getting to the place where this could happen, but there really needs to be a greater push to do that. It's not really happening right now.
Lisa Garion is a reporter for the Los Angeles Times. She and reporter Scott Glover wrote a series of articles about reckless overprescribing of painkillers such as oxycodone in Southern California. We have a link to that series at knprnews.org. Lisa Garion, thank you very much for joining us.
Thanks. Happy to do it.